The title of this morning's sermon is The Storm. It's a two-part series that, as I look back, it's been roughly about 10 to 12 years in the making. I remember looking over my notes and looking over some things that looked pretty familiar. And the Holy Spirit impressed me to go back and look over some of the notes that I've had in previous sermons and different little notes, things that I've jotted down. And I realized that the Lord has been writing this sermon for a long time. Amen? It's amazing how we can look back over our lives and see the Lord's handprint all over it and realize that where we are is not by happenstance, but He led and He guided us safely to the point where we are now, to be exactly where we needed to be, exactly when He needed us to be there. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to thank our AV department for working with me this morning and getting things going. Praise God for you and your ministry. Yes. Amen? Amen. I've got some cool little PowerPoints. I usually don't do PowerPoints when I preach, but I've got some things. I'm visual, and there are some things that I just want you to see so that you can get a real feel for what we're going to be talking about this morning. So I want to start off with just defining a storm. What is a storm? And as I looked through, as I researched, a storm is defined as any disturbed state of an environment or astronomical body's atmosphere, especially affecting its surface and strongly implying severe weather. And in my research, I was thinking, well, what exactly causes a storm? Storms are created when a center of low pressure develops with a system of high pressure surrounding it. The air's stability is one of the key factors that determines whether showers and thunderstorms will form. The combination of opposing forces, you know, that high pressure and that low pressure clashing, amen? The combination of these opposing forces can create winds and result in formation of storm clouds. And one of the storm clouds I want to share with you this morning is a storm cloud entitled Cumulonimbus. Let's go to our next slide. The Cumulonimbus. That's a Cumulonimbus. Now, I don't know about you, but when I see something like that, I know something's about to go down. Amen? You don't look at a cloud like that and just think, oh, it's going to be okay. Normally, I don't care if you're not a meteorologist, you don't have to have any education in this to know that there is something about to happen. And I don't think I want to be caught outside when it does. Now, there are a couple types of storms. Let's go to slide 3. We're going to talk about a couple types of storms. No, go back. That's okay. Some of the types of storms that I ran across when I was researching this are hailstorms. We've all seen hailstorms. Some minor, some major. Amen? You've seen some that are pretty small and some that look like they're almost the size of golf balls. And those are the ones that usually damage our car. Amen to my folk from the Midwest. Amen. Ice storms, tornadoes, lightning, blizzards, floods, derecho storms, tropical storms, and hurricanes. These are typical storms that we may run across in our lives. And the funny thing about storms is they generally lead to negative impacts not only on our lives, but our property. Amen? Small localized areas of low pressure can form hot air rising off the ground, resulting in smaller disturbances. Let's go to the next slide. Known as dust devils. That looks pretty familiar, amen? Amen, Arizona. These little fellas seem to just kind of come out of nowhere. And sometimes they start off really, really small, and you just see just something, just a little twister on the ground, and it's like, oh, my. And they can range from something very minor to something that kicks up a little more like that. And you get a little more concerned the more dust you see kicking up. Yeah, we're going to come back to that later. Let's go to our next slide. These are whirlwinds. Amen, Arizona. These can also quickly escalate. Amen. Now, we touched on the little storms, but I want to talk to you a little bit. Let's go to our next slide about big storms. Yes. Big storms are ominous or threatening, if you will. These storms demand our attention. I can guarantee you, if you walked out your home and saw something like that, not only did you want to run back in, but you would know that there is an urgency for you to do something, batten down the hatches, if you will. When you see those big storms, they also remind us of how a change in environment or atmosphere can make us feel really small, insignificant, helpless, powerless. And despite your best efforts, sometimes you just can't be prepared enough for the storm. Amen? Let's go to the next slide. Preparation for the storm. Now, meteorologists use scientific principles to observe, understand, explain, and eventually forecast the Earth's atmospheric phenomena and how it's going to affect a particular area. There are even periodic tests for the emergency broadcast system to even let us know something's going to happen and even to just kind of help us prepare. Let's go to the next slide. Usually when you know that there's a test of the emergency broadcast system, you'll see something like this on your television, and you'll hear a script on television that goes something like this. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. If this had been an actual emergency, you would have been instructed where to tune in your area for news and official information. Amen? That's what we usually hear. That's the warning. Now, nothing's going on, but just in case if something happened, they needed to know that their mode of communication to let you know something was going on is working. So that's preparing for something that may or may not happen. But you don't wait until the storm happens. You have to prepare for the storm to take place. Because usually before a storm hits, there's a warning. Now, if they got the warning and they went to the emergency broadcast system to let you know, okay, it's coming, but it's not working, well, you are even more unprepared for the storm, and it will completely blindside you. Amen? So see, even if you don't hear the warning, if maybe you're not near a television or you're just driving, how sometimes those haboobs can just kind of take you by storm, so to say, you notice a shift in the atmosphere. Amen? And with that shift, the sky looks a little different. Amen? I know for like when we moved here, now I lived in Vegas before many years ago. We did not have monsoon in Vegas, so that completely took me by surprise when we moved, my husband and I moved here. And I noticed, I remember the first haboob after we'd moved here, and I noticed, why does the sky look so dusty? It was just dusty looking. The clouds look dusty. And not only did the sky look different, the air felt different. Amen? Sometimes it may get a little warmer. Sometimes it may get a little cooler. And I remember growing up, you know how sometimes, even before the weather changes, you have the elders in your family that would just kind of like, oh, it's going to rain. There is not a cloud in the sky. So where do you get this from? It's not going to rain. There's no clouds out there. And I used to wonder how my relatives from the South always knew something was going on. And it's like they just, they just knew. And I'm thinking, okay, well, they're godly people. They're just wise. Maybe the Lord told them. I don't know. I was little. I didn't know. But usually what they said came to pass. And it wasn't until I got arthritis in my left knee, I became a weather prophet. Amen. Because I don't care what it looks like outside. And it's a different kind of pain. Amen. Because I run. And it's one thing when your leg is a little sore, but it's something else. I see some head nodding. It's something else when that arthritis is flaring up. And it'll take you down. Amen. I remember the first time I experienced it. Saints of God, as God is my witness, I was crawling around my house. I had no idea what was going on. All I know is I wanted somebody to blow my knee off my leg because it hurt that bad. It's a different kind of pain. But I digress. I want to get back on track and talk a little bit about the storms of life, because we've gone over some of the storms that happens as a result of the change in the earth's atmosphere. Now, in the Bible, storms of life are illustrated in stories painting pictures of adversity or hardship that oftentimes come in our lives. Much like the storms in the earth's atmosphere, the storms of life result from the combination of opposing forces, resulting from disturbances in the earth's in the atmosphere of our lives. You know those atmospheres, good and evil, right and wrong, self-worship and disobedience to God. You know, we can go on and on all day long and come up with different scenarios or different ways that we can look at the battle, those opposing forces in the storms of our lives. Now, the air stability is one of the key factors that determines the severity of showers and thunderstorms, not only in the earth's atmosphere, but in our lives as well. So I'm going to come from the tornado family when I talk about the storms that could happen, the type of storms that often come in our lives. Now, there are three types of storms. How many? Three types of storms that can affect us in our daily lives. Our regular day-to-day storms. Let's go to slide 9. The dust devil. The dust devil is a strong, well-formed, and relatively long-lived whirlwind, ranging from something relatively small, you know, maybe half a meter wide to a few meters tall, to possibly a larger one, more than 10 meters wide and maybe more than 1,000 meters tall. Now, the primary vertical motion is upward. Dust devils are usually harmless, but can on some occasions grow large enough to really pose a threat to people and property. Dust devils form by a swirling updraft. And there doesn't have to be a particular storm front brewing. Dust devils can just pop up at anywhere, at any given time, and usually in fair weather. Now, they rarely come close to the intensity of a tornado, but rarely is not an absolute. And oftentimes, if it can, it will. Amen? Matthew 5:45 reminds us that the Lord causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. So in your day-to-day, when you may face trials, not because you did anything in particular, but these are just life's challenges that happen. You have to remember that it's just a test. Amen. It's just a test. It's just a test. The second kind of storm is a self-inflicted whirlwind. Let's go to our next slide. It is yet another whirlwind. And a whirlwind is a weather phenomenon in which a vortex of wind, which is a vertically oriented rotating column of air, it forms due to instabilities and turbulence created by heating and flow gradients. That's just current. Whirlwinds, like dust devils, can occur anytime, any place, and any season. But you know, the funny thing about that self-inflicted whirlwind is it's just that. It's self-inflicted. Those whirlwinds come from the choices that we make. Amen? James chapter 1, 14 and 15 reminds us, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So it's funny how you may not have necessarily set out to hurt anyone, or not even yourself. But when we are lured by our own desires, and it's usually an ungodly desire, something that we shouldn't have or shouldn't do, we bring things unnecessarily upon ourselves that need not be. Amen? I had the opportunity to preach at a pastor friend of mine's church the other week, and we were talking about self-inflicted situations, that self-inflicted pain, and I illustrated one of the choices, utilizing maybe the people that we choose to become involved with. Her name was Josephine, and his name was Joe. Now, Joe and Josephine may not necessarily be bad people, but they may not necessarily be people that you need to attach yourself to. Because with Joe and Josephine, circumstances, situations, or as my father would say, situations, and I need to just pause for a moment to explain the difference between a situation and a situation, according to my father. A situation is something that it's not the greatest of things, but it's something that you can recover from and you can come through. A situation, on the other hand, is something, it's something that did not have to be. It was a horrible decision. It will take an act of God to get you out of. And I pray that if you live through this thing, that you will never live it, you will never do it again. So now that we're clear on a situation and a situation, we can move on. Another example of a self-inflicted wound. You remember our brother Jonah in the Bible? Jonah got himself in trouble when he tried to run from the presence of God. All he had to do was listen to God and go to Nineveh. But no. That was a situation. Amen. Amen. Another situation that was needless, but, you know, Once again, self-inflicted wound. Y'all remember our friend Pharaoh in the story of Moses? All he had to do when it came to the Lord, he had one job. All he had to do was let God's people go. That's it. He had one job. Let the people go. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. And because of his disobedience, not only did he suffer far more than he needed to, he called the suffering that he experienced on himself. Amen. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. He, even in the midst of all of this, and I remember reading the story many times, but when you read that story and it clicks with you, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. That brings a completely different spin to that story. Because you think, and sometimes when we're reading things, we'll glaze over and think, oh, you know, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Yeah, it was hardened, but God hardened Pharaoh's heart. That's some hardness on a completely different level. Amen? That really puts the story in a completely different perspective. Another poor, sad soul who brought this self-inflicted whirlwind on himself. Judas. Yeah. Although prophecy foretold that Jesus would be betrayed, did he have to be that person that betrayed Jesus? A self-inflicted wound. It was going to happen, whether it was him or someone else. And the sad thing in that situation is he was deceived. Amen? He's thinking, I'm going to get paid, you know, get his 30 pieces of silver. But he didn't realize how much that transaction was truly going to cost him. And unfortunately, by the time the story unfolded and he realized what really happened, it was too late. He didn't want the money. He tried to give that money back, and they were like, mm-mm, want that blood money? You paid that blood money. They didn't want the blood money. There are some things that cost too much. Amen? Have mercy. I tell you, that love of money really is the root of all evil. Well, let's go to our next slide as we talk about the associated weather whirlwind. And this is an interesting one. Let's go to our next one. Yeah, that's ugly, isn't it? The associated weather and whirlwind is usually occurs when local winds start to spin on the ground. This causes a funnel to form. You see the funnels in those? The funnel moves over the ground, pushed by the winds that first formed it, and picks up materials such as dust and snow as it moves over the ground, thus becoming visible. Proverbs chapter 13 and 20 reminds us, he who walks with the wise man will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. We have to be careful whom we choose to associate ourselves with. You see that little funnel, that little whirlwind on the end, that little bitty one? Oftentimes that's ours. But when we associate ourselves with individuals whom we maybe shouldn't necessarily associate ourselves with. It doesn't mean that you can't be friendly or whatever, but you have to be careful who you allow to hold space in your life. Amen? Because where you are, okay, you're dealing with your little whirlwind. But here comes someone that you associate with. He's got his. Maybe the person he's associated with has got a bigger one, and that person has a bigger one. And you're just looking at the person that you're connected to. But you've got to realize that that person is connected to someone else who's connected to someone else who's connected to someone else. And at the end of that spectrum, it doesn't matter that you may not be connected to all the people directly that that person is connected to, but you will be affected. Amen. Folk carry spirits. Amen. And if you allow them to hold space in your life, some of the very things that they carry, you will carry. Amen. Amen. Psalms 1:1 reminds us, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. Thank you, Jesus. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There are some folk, and I don't know about you all, when folk are a little too anxious to be friendly with me, I'm leery. Amen. We're family, right? We can be honest. When people are just too anxious to be friendly, I came up during a time, and my parents are old school Southerners. Everything that calls you a friend is not necessarily a friend. Amen? And I don't know about you all, but I was not even allowed, because of my parents' wisdom, I was not allowed to play with all of the kids in the neighborhood. Amen? And it's not because my parents thought I was better than any of the children, you know, that I was not necessarily allowed to play with. But there was wisdom. Amen? In that decision, there are things that they saw that I could not see because I did not have the wisdom. I didn't have the experience. I didn't have the knowledge. I just wanted to play. Amen. But they saw some things in these children. And sometimes not necessarily just the children, but the household that these children came from. Amen. That posed a threat to all the work, all the instruction, all the things that they worked so diligently to put in me. And the thing is, parents, we've got to remember, we teach our children at home, but our children are not with us 24 hours a day. And it's those friends that can oftentimes influence them negatively. Yeah, the choice was theirs. But sometimes we are oftentimes around people that we are not equipped to handle some of the things that they've been exposed to. And out of ignorance, we may choose something temporarily that may have long-lasting effects on us, resulting in a storm. Have mercy. Let's go to our next slide. When it comes to storms, you're usually in one of three places. Amen? How many places?
One of three.
You're either entering a storm, in the midst of a storm or coming out of a storm. Amen. Do we agree with that? Amen. Amen. Now, let's go to our next slide. Our storms have purpose. Amen. God would not allow something to happen to you that does not enhance you in some way, shape, or form. Amen. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He is an all-powerful, all-knowing God who created the heavens and the earth. And although we don't always understand why he does what he does, we can rest assured that there is a purpose for everything that he allows to happen. I remember many years ago hearing C.D. Brooks, God rest his soul, saying, "What the Lord does not prevent, he allows for a reason." And it made sense. It made perfect sense when I heard it. But I tell you, there are some sayings, some nuggets of wisdom that come to you in moments of adversity that, although it made sense at the time, it takes on a deeper meaning to you. And at that point, you begin to understand what you know. Because there are times that we can have knowledge about many things, but not necessarily understand those things. Amen? Amen. Preparation for the storm. Let's go to our next slide. Have mercy. Remember this? This is a test. Our storms have purpose, and they are used to correct, protect, and perfect. Amen? They're used to correct, protect, and perfect. Now, in order to correct, protect, and perfect, you can't expect for a storm to occur and you not know what, you know, and know what to do. There are some times that we think we know, but we run across a storm that let us know how unprepared we really are for these things. Amen? These storms can be overwhelming. And the Lord, even in the midst of storms, will use other storms to prepare you for greater storms. Yeah, you heard me right. He will use storms to prepare you for greater storms. In the midst of these tests for the emergency broadcast system, it lets us know that there is counsel, there is information, there are tools that you will be equipped with to help you to make decisions that will be beneficial, not only to you, but to those around you. And although you may not understand the things that are being shared with you, if you trust the source, amen? If you trust the source, you won't necessarily have to understand. But I promise you, if you hold on, you will understand it better by and by. Amen. I wish you all could see what I see, because I see light bulbs all over the place. I see nods. I hear you. I'm there with you. I see you all even just replaying experiences that you've had, even just going through this. It's amazing how the Lord uses our storms to help us, to help us to not necessarily understand all the time, But in the midst, to teach us blind faith and trust. I don't know about you all, but you know, when you're little, you think your parents can do anything. You think your parents are the smartest people in the world. And, you know, it's my dad, who's not a tall man, I thought he was like a giant to me, but I was much smaller. So he was, but by my standards, he was a giant. And I thought he could do anything. And he was a little crazy too. He would start a fight in an empty room over me. Amen. Yeah, I just said that. He would start a fight in an empty room over me. So with that relationship, I felt protected. I don't care what was going on. If my daddy said it was going to be okay, it's going to be okay. I don't care what's out there. He could have been terrified, but he told me it was going to be okay. And because my history with him proved that he took care of me, wasn't always perfect, but we always came through. That point of reference, that relationship, let me know that I could trust him. Amen? And our parents are the example that God uses to introduce us to him. Amen? And some of us who may struggle with God sometimes can trace that back to maybe that relationship with your parents. Maybe that relationship with someone in a position of authority and influence that let you down in a major way. And there was a shift in your life as a result of that. Amen? Amen. Have mercy. Next slide, please. God uses people, places, and situations and storms to warn us and bring light to those areas in our lives needing that correction, perfection, which is also maturity, and even that protection from larger storms. James 4, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 reminds us to submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen? Amen. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. But if you don't remember anything else, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God said that we would experience storms. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 reminds us, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation." Job 14 and 1 reminds us that man is born, that is born of a woman, is a few days and full of trouble. I think I'm going to say that again. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's one of those kind of things, huh? God will test us. Amen? He will test us. But I need you to understand that he will never tempt us. That's what the enemy does. The enemy tempts us. Remember that self-inflicted whirlwind we talked about earlier? In James chapter 1, just like we said earlier, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And I need to remind you all that you do know the enemy is watching, right? So it's really not hard to figure out what we like and what we are tempted by. You know, when that handsome guy walks by and you look just a little too long. Or that lovely lady walks by and you look just a little too long. God help you if your spouse is looking at you like, because you do know we have eyes in the back of our head and we see her long before she gets there. You do know that, don't you? Just want to share some wisdom with you. Spiritual strength, resilience, the ability to bounce back is like physical strength. And it's acquired through resistance. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, the word says, no weapon that is formed against you will be able to prosper. But he did not say the weapon would not be formed. Amen? So, maybe you didn't go as far as you could have gone in a situation. It's okay. Just hold on. You can recover. It's a three-step process. Remember, this is a test. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. This is a test. Now, when the scripture says resist the devil, you know, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You do know that he will return. Right? That's just for that. But he will return. Have you... I don't know about you, but has anyone had this friend that you love them, but they are just a mess? I mean, they are just a mess. And yeah, okay, don't tell on them because some of those folks might be in here. But they are just a mess, but you love them. And you understand that they don't mean you any harm, but they just make horrible choices. A lot. And you love them and you try to help them. And sometimes you have to take a step back and recoup, recuperate and, you know, kind of get your head together because they can be challenging sometimes. And sometimes in order to continue to love them, you have to take a step back and, you know, maybe let that call go to voicemail. You know, maybe not be so available because you need to maintain your sanity. Amen. Everybody has a friend like that. Do you know in your relationship with God, you do know that's you. Right? You do know that's you. Amen. Grace is laughing just a little too hard in the back. But we all have that friend. Can you imagine God? And let's not even think about the rest of the world. Just look at the people just right here. Can you imagine what he goes through on a daily basis? I don't know about you. I'm a hot mess all by myself. Amen. I'm a hot mess all by myself. But even much like us with that special friend in our life, because you love them and you want them to get better, to do better, to know better, you exercise patience with them, but sometimes in exercising that patience, you have to take a step back and sometimes allow them to fall into situations that you tried to warn them about, but they didn't listen. Enter the storm. Well, you know, in our relationship with God, you know that's us, right? You know, there are times that he sends things over and over and over again, and sometimes we just don't get it. Well-meaning as we may be, we just don't get it. And there are some things that we absolutely have to go through. Amen? Because without that experience, without that storm, you will be ill-equipped to go to the place where God has for you to go. Amen? You would never give a crawling baby car keys. That child is ill-equipped to drive a car and doesn't understand that. The child can't even walk. Why would you give them car keys? And even in the midst of the storm, sometimes oftentimes in the storm, we will pray for God to take the storm away. Just stop it, Lord, I can't take it. But he can't. There are some things that we have to go through in order to be prepared. Because remember, sometimes he uses these storms to prepare us for greater storms. And without this, you just don't know what the end result would be if he allowed you to go through and enter into that larger storm. Sometimes you would meet your demise, and out of love, he will keep you there to protect you. Amen? Isn't that funny, keeping you in the storm to protect you from the storm? But can you just picture, even in the midst of a storm, God just covering you? Amen. And it doesn't matter what's going on around you. He's just covering you. And although you are going through that hell and high water that our grandmas talked about, you find peace. Amen. The slide that we have up is a slide that a dear sister shared with me in one of my prayer groups. And I tell you, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Sometimes God calms the storm, but sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child. This is how sometimes you can witness a person going through sometimes multiple storms in different areas of their lives. The sister was talking earlier about how she was going through a storm on her job. Amen. But maybe there's a storms in her home or in her church, and there could be multiple storms going on. But even in the midst of those multiple storms, God covers. And it doesn't matter what's going on. You can find peace in the midst of the storm because you know God's got me. Amen? And I know I could probably tell you all, you know I got your back. And that may make you feel good. And that's nice. But when God tells you, I've got your back. Because, you know, my resources are limited. And I may have to kind of leave you in a certain place because I'm married and I love my husband. Wave your hand, baby. I'm just keeping it real. People may be able to only go so far with you, well-meaning as they may be. They may only be able to go so far with you in the storm, and that may just be their purpose, to go only so far in the storm. Because God will use people, places, and things to help us through. But there are some times it just needs to be you and Jesus. Amen? Because sometimes if too many people are involved, I may thank them a little too much and give them a little too much credit for what the Lord has done. Amen? And if God did it, God's getting the credit. I will thank him for you. But at the end of the day, if I know I can't trust anyone, even like the word says, when your mother and father forsakes you, I will take you up. If I have nothing else, I have the Lord, and that is more than I will ever need. Amen? Amen. So we were talking about how the storms correct, protect, and perfect. In the correction, you cannot fix what you don't face. So those storms reveal. Amen? I remember, and I'll share a little bit more about you because this is a two-part sermon in The Beauty in the Storm. I remember I was flying home, and I'll share more of this story next week. And I was coming home from military duty and flying home, and it was pitch black. And I'm looking out the window, just thinking, I see this lightning. Huh. And then there was another flash of lightning, and it illuminated everything that was down there. Now, from my perspective, it was pitch black. But that lightning illuminated everything down there. And then it was just, oh my God, it was just going and going. And, you know, I see different portions of this area where this lightning is going. And I saw things from that perspective that I would not have seen otherwise. And it showed me, and the Holy Spirit was talking, and it's like, although there are unpleasant experiences in the storm is not all bad. Because there are some things you see in a storm that you would not have otherwise seen. Folk that you thought were really for you. Mm-hmm. Come on. You see who's with you. Amen. The storm reveals. It teaches. Amen? The storm can teach you. You know you weren't as spiritual as you thought you were. Amen. You do know that. It exposes not only other people, it exposes you to you. Amen? Praise God for his grace and mercy. But something else about the storm, there's reassurance, and it exposes God. Because even in the midst of the storm, when you look at your part in it, where God is in it, and what's going on, you realize that, you know, this could be a whole lot worse. And even in that correction, if you are honest with yourself, you will be thankful. Because the thing is, when we see the same storms, it's like seeing the same person just in a different suit. If that thing keeps coming to you and keeps coming to you and keeps coming to you, you need to take a deeper look at that thing and see what you're missing. And I like to pray those, Lord, I'm sick and tired of this. Can you just show me what it is? Because clearly I can't see it. I call it those stupid prayers. Clearly, I am an idiot and I do not see this. Help me to see, because Lord, I am sick and tired of going through the same thing over and over and over and over again, because that is insanity. Amen, Grace.
Amen.
Amen. That is truly the definition of insanity. Protection. God says that he will never leave nor forsake you. Jonah in the belly of the whale, I will never leave nor forsake you. Daniel in the lion's den, I will never leave nor forsake you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the fiery furnace, I will never leave nor forsake you. Now, from the outside, looking at just those three examples, even looking at Jonah in the belly of the whale, you look at him up, he's a goner. From our perspective, just from what we saw, if we were there, would have been like, that's a wrap. That's a wrap. He went in. He was swallowed. He is in there. In most circumstances, he would not come out. But what was not seen was what was going on in the midst of the belly of the whale. I will never leave nor forsake you. So it doesn't matter if you're in the belly of the whale, in the den of lions, or help us, Holy Ghost, in the fiery furnace. If God said, I will never leave nor forsake you, you can best believe I will never leave nor forsake you. I love the story of the three Hebrew boys, especially being in the furnace, because when they threw them in, it killed the guy who threw them in there. They didn't smell of smoke. They're walking around talking. And although they threw three in there, when they looked in, wait a minute. There's a fourth one in there. And somehow they knew who he looked like. Amen? So even in the midst, no matter where you sit in storms, whether you're part of someone's storm, you've inflicted a storm. Even in the midst of that, God will reveal himself. Amen? Because I don't care where you are in this storm, whether you're on the side of good or on the side of evil, he desires that we all be saved. And the only way that we are not saved is if we do not desire to be saved and we choose not to be saved. Hell is not for us. But if you put yourself in the position to go to hell, there's a spot for you. Amen?
Amen.
We're coming to a close. Perfect or mature. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, our experiences, our testimonies allow us to help one another. And he gave us some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping or the perfecting of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So family, whether you're entering the storm, in the midst of the storm, or coming out of the storm, remember that God will never leave you nor forsake you. And sometimes God will calm the storm, and sometimes he'll let the storm rage and just calm his child. Let's go to the next slide. Next Sabbath, I invite you all to come back for part two, the beauty in the storm. I hope that you all have been fed spiritually today. I pray that the Lord has given you a word to just marinate on throughout the week. And by God's grace, I pray that you will be back here next week as we hear the word of God in the sermon, The Beauty in the Storm. Amen.